time for Sports Lit 101. And we're pleased to welcome to the show and the segment the author of a fantastic book entitled Dust Bowl Girls. Lydia Reeder joins us. Lydia, thank you for being with us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
The book is such a delightful, informative read. It's nonfiction that reads in many ways like fiction, and it's great research by you, but also a wonderful family connection that I'm sure had to make the whole experience even more enjoyable for you.
Oh, it was a lot of fun to write. Yes, it was.
Your great uncle, Sam Babb, the guy behind this tremendous Cardinals team. And did you learn some family history that you didn't know?
I learned some very interesting family history that I didn't know. Sam Babb was my great uncle. He was my grandmother's favorite brother, so I heard a lot about him growing up. I didn't know him because he passed away quite young. But there were things that I didn't know. He had one leg, and I had no idea how he had lost his leg. And it was through a horrible family argument that nobody ever talked about until I started asking around. So, you know, you find out some things that you actually don't want to know, but in the end make for a very interesting character.
Well, yeah, this is Bruce Lydia. One of the things I found so incredible about Sam was not just his ability as a coach, his ability to relate to these girls from rural Oklahoma who, you know, really probably most of them never thought they would go to college, but that accident was a result of a form of punishment, actually, from his father that cost him his leg, never seemed to make him a bitter man. And I would keep reading through this, and I would think to myself every once in a while, oh, he's doing this on one leg. He's driving all around the Southwest. He's recruiting these players. He's taking them on games. He didn't seem to have a hint of bitterness in him. And did you discover that too?
I did. And my grandmother was the same way. There were 12 kids in that family, and they were assigned to help each other because obviously 12 kids was more than their mother could handle. And it seemed to me, while they were growing up, and it seemed to me that instilled some form of altruism in them. There wasn't any cynicism ever in my grandmother, and I don't think that there was in Sam. But it also made him a very much a rule person. He had a lot of rules that his players had to follow. And when I interviewed the players, they all talked about that and actually didn't like his rules. He was a little strict.
if you could just, for our listeners, if you could sketch out a little bit about the history of Sam and the college and this team and some of their remarkable accomplishments, that'd be great.
Oh, sure. Well, Dust Bowl Girls is an epic sports story about a team of teenage farm girls led by Sam, who was a tough and visionary basketball coach. And against all odds, they unexpectedly start winning game after game. And this takes place in the 1931-1932 season. All the girls who played for him were teenagers. He traveled the countryside recruiting them and offered them financial aid to the little women's college, Oklahoma Presbyterian College Cardinals. And financial aid back then was unheard of. But when they started playing and traveling the countryside barnstorming, which is takes place in the first half of the book, they start winning game after game and make it to the 1932 Amateur Athletic Union National Championships, where they face an epic showdown with the Dallas Golden Cyclones and their best athlete, the famous Babe Diedrichson.
I was so amazed the way Diedrichson keeps intersecting this. And also, if you could just elaborate a little bit on how the college itself was also had a lower division school that was mostly Native American students, and that these girls had to interact with them and had to work with them as part of their school life.
They did. Obviously, the school was run by the Presbyterians, and back then the Presbyterians ran missions to Indian territory and had established strong missions for Native Americans, and part of their mission was achieved through providing education to basically poor Seminole, Choctaw, Cherokee, and other Native American kids that lived in Oklahoma back then. And there were a couple hundred that attended the school and learned while the Presbyterians allowed them to keep their own traditions, they also learned to speak English and were educated and also had to learn table manners, which was what the girls on the team, that was their job during lunch, teaching these younger kids table manners.
I was fascinated, too, reading about that 1932 championship. For anybody who thinks the hack-a-shack strategy was something new, that was back in the 30s when they were attempting to do the same thing to Doll Harris by fouling her every time she touched the ball.
Yes, but that was a mistake because part of what Sam made them do was practice 100 free throws every day, and they had to make 100 free throws every day, and he made them mark them down in a book. So by the time they were fouling Doll Harris, she would make her free throw. So it didn't really work, at least during that championship game.
Now, Doll's a really interesting character. If you could limb her out a little bit, I found it just fascinating. This tiny little girl becomes this grown-up who really basically takes on the world of AAU basketball, which would be comparable to today's NCAA basketball.
Yes, except most of the players back then came from industrial league teams, and they were usually much older. They had played together, worked at the company, and then played for the basketball team, and they had played together for a while. Doll Harris in the book is about 19 years old. She is 5'2", part Cherokee and part Irish. Her father was a poor tenant farmer in western Oklahoma where the drought had hit hardest, and oftentimes they didn't have enough to eat. But what she lacked in self-confidence, or what she lacked in height, she made up in self-confidence. One classmate wrote in her high school yearbook, "Doll always gets what she goes after." She knew how to strategize and play the game, and she also tried to make herself look feminine. She wore pink ribbons in her hair during the games, but at the same time, she averaged about 25 points per game. So, and at the end of the 1932 season, the Associated Press named her the best female basketball player in the country.
We're talking with Lydia Reeder, the author of Dust Bowl Girls, and as a lover of history, I particularly enjoyed that while we were learning about this remarkable team, the players and the coach, you also were really creating and crafting a wonderful history of America during that time period.
I found it fascinating just to read about the history of the small town of Durant and how it was at the very end of the Trail of Tears and that the Choctaw established the town. And it grew from there. And it was an amazing piece of history that I felt the Oklahoma Presbyterian College Cardinals would never have existed without that little piece of history happening as it did. And then the history of the Presbyterian mission and how Oklahoma Presbyterian College was established was very interesting. And when I first started researching the book, I had no idea that women's basketball was thriving like it did back in the 1930s, even during the devastation of the Great Depression. I just found it all very interesting and also really inspirational.
We had discussed on the show a number of times the way that women's sports were, that there was an organized opposition to them, and Herbert Hoover's wife being one of them, or I forget which president's wife it was,
yeah.
but how it was seen as so transgressive, but yet for these women, this was actually their ticket into a life they could not otherwise have had. And that when we think about it now, I mean, I don't know if we'd even have Title IX in our sights if it hadn't been for for this, and we were be talking with the author of Bloomer Girls about young girls playing baseball earlier on. Uh-huh. I mean, these were really, really pioneers in the best sense of that. Do you think it was that in part it was that sort of progressive idea of the Presbyterians at that time that helped foster this?
Oh, absolutely. And just the openness that they welcomed this athletic ability among these girls, and the whole school celebrated the team, and the townspeople did as well, even though they were a little taken aback by the athleticism of these players. But most of the girls who played on the team had worked in the fields. Some had chopped cotton. Some had had plowed the field. Some had performed all kinds of chores along in their farm. So it didn't really seem like they couldn't play basketball. What could they not do if they worked in the field?
Well, one of the players drove the bus and fixed it, which I loved, was the mechanic. You know, one of the things that we were all waiting with is, who's going to make this into a movie? I haven't read a book in a long time that I just said, this screams to be made into a movie.
Oh, fantastic. Well, there is an option out there, so we're waiting to see, too, if it will be made into a movie. I think just the aspect of it taking place during the Great Depression adds so much to it, because it's history that most people, including myself, never knew.
Well, we certainly didn't know it here, I can tell you that. Rich?
I love the epilogue, too. It was so wonderful to see where these women went in their lives, and it was fascinating to see where they were 40, 50, and 60 years later.
And they continued to have team reunions. They kept in touch throughout for the next, 50 or 60 years, which I just found so endearing and fantastic. And they all kept their scrapbooks, and some had even kept their uniforms. So it was very much a life-changing event for them.
One of the other wonderful things about this book, and I want people to do, is that we weren't kidding. We said this reads like fiction in the best sense. Do you think in part that we say that because the story takes us a place that we can only imagine? I mean, especially if we're here in New England, people have never seen the plains of Oklahoma or western Texas or whatever. The way that the setting plays into this, the way you were able to marry that, the setting and the events, was really remarkable. I thought it was really fabulous writing.
Oh, I really appreciate that. And the setting, growing up on the farms, the wide open spaces, very much helped form their characters. And is truly another character in the book.
Lydia, I want to tell you, well, we've been doing this segment on the show for, I don't know, what, 3 years, Bruce?
Yeah,
something like that.
And
of all the books that we have read, this is absolutely one of the most memorable, one of the most fascinating reads. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon and for writing and sharing with us such a great story.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yes, Lydia, thanks, Bruce. Thanks an awful lot. We've talked about this 3 or 4 times. We're really excited you were with us, and just a great book, Dust Bowl Girls.
Oh, thanks so much.
That's Lydia Reeder. Again, the book, Dust Bowl Girls, the inspiring story of the team that barnstormed its way to basketball glory. And it is so good. Can't put it down.
I know. I've had so many people say to me, I want to borrow your copy. You go, no, buy one. It's a great book.
Exactly.
Go out and buy it. It's a fabulous book.